We've held a number of meetings with community stakeholders, both businesses, Chinese community, resident groups, property managers, anybody that has any sort of involvement or impact in that area. We've made available to take considerable time to speak to them, receive their input, note it, and continue to work on those problems. In all, we've had over 60 community-related meetings since the start of this project. We've also conducted thorough surveys of the residents in the area. So there were a number of locations with the Mustoff Manor, Estate Hotel, Modern Rich, and even outside the area with Pacific Tower, Old Town Lofts, and then the Right to Dream 2 camp and Union Gospel Mission. They're also located roughly in the 6-block closure area. Overall, the feedback that we received from the communities, the resident surveys, was more positive than negative. There were definitely a number of mixed reviews in there, and the primary concerns were really coming from outside the area, the unintended impacts of displacing some of the livability issues that we'd solved inside the area, and now we're noticing outside the street closure area. We've also partnered with the Multnomah County Task Force, their high-risk drinking task force. This is the community-based group that helped us out with the signage. They also volunteered a number of man hours and coordinated with Patrick from the Office of Neighborhood Involvement to conduct patron surveys, which have been overwhelmingly positive. Prior to the implementation of the street closure project, I've received a number of community complaints. It's kind of one of my lines I open up when I talk to community groups. You won't find many people that actually like to hear concerns and complaints as a civil servant, but it allows me to effectively assess the situation in any given area and then work with police and other public partners to direct resources to solve those problems. And I would say from a safety and livability standpoint, the number of concerns that I've had about the street closure area post-implementation of the project have definitely reduced. But as Commander Day hinted in his comments, that this project is definitely much more complicated than simply just the public safety aspect of it. But I do feel that continuing the experiment gives us time to continue that community dialogue and continue to experiment with ways to improve it and have some lasting positive results for the neighborhood and the surrounding area. So, thank you very much for your time.
So I might just set the stage for the testimony that we're going to get now and for any questions for the team. It's my intention with this process to not simply extend the closure, but be systematically addressing the issues that this group has highlighted here. How do we provide ongoing management? Is there going to be a nonprofit entity that's going to be responsible for continuing this particular management of this particular ad hoc public space? It's not a core responsibility for the police bureau, although the police bureau has done a good job. It's not a core responsibility of PBOT or the Office of Neighborhoods, neighborhood involvements, to manage a public space, but we know how to do that in this community, and it's generally done by a nonprofit, see Pioneer Courthouse Square, for an example. So it seems to me that we want a management entity to become clear and get the assignment that they have it over this next period. As Sarah pointed out, there are a number of ways in which we might begin to produce program revenue here. Among them are parking, but we need to pay the extraordinary costs of this set of public services. It needs to look right and feel right for the people that run businesses here and who come to this part of the city to enjoy the nightlife. So, you know, we've used roadway closure equipment as a way to close the street, but that's not the only way to close the street. So it's my hope and expectation that if we approve this ordinance, it isn't just 6 months and we hope it works out. It's 6 months of methodical effort working with a whole bunch of stakeholders to make each of these specific items real in terms of a strategy.
Can I ask the Commander Day one question? Something my staff highlighted for me, Commander, is a concern that we've gotten from at least one constituent about the barricades and the perception of the barricades, and then we pulled the original, I guess, ordinance, which talks about finding innovative ways to improve the aesthetic experience of the street closure itself. Any thoughts?
Well, we, as Sarah mentioned, since we've taken over, that we've changed the barricades and received positive feedback from that. We're using, at the moment, just the standard gates that we use for events like marathons and things like that. And then we're strategizing, you know, instead of having, right now it's a fencing system that says street closed, but they're lower, they're less offensive, you know, they're not the big bright orange construction ones. And then, you know, one of the things we're strategizing about, instead of just having a sign that says street closed, you know, maybe putting a sign on there that actually says what it is, you know, pedestrian only zone or something like that. So there's not a sense of this is closed, this is open, it's just closed to cars. So we have received positive feedback in the last couple of weeks. We made that change a few weeks ago and have heard good comments, but we're continuing to move that direction.
Other questions for the team? Thank you all very much. I think we have a number of people signed up to testify.
We have 9 people signed up. The first 3, please come on up, are Dan Lazen, Howard Weiner, and Helen Ying. And they'll be followed by Steve Bloch, Gloria Lee, and Jackie Peterson.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Helen. You're on.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm the last name, but I get the first to go on first. I'm Helen Ying, and I'm here today to speak about the issue of street closure in Old Town Chinatown. I see this matter as a way for the city to respond in addressing the matter of public safety. And however, I also see it as an opportunity for intentional design. So I brought with me today this Old Town Chinatown vision plan. I think Howard also has a copy there. So this is something that the city council has actually adopted some years ago. And I'm, you know, pulling some of the language from here in regards to this this nightlife district. So in this plan that was created some time ago, it says the idea is to make an Old Town Chinatown nightlife district a bright, clean, and pedestrian-friendly area, which is visibly identified to visitors as Portland's premier entertainment nightlife destination. And that would be so cool if we actually could do that, right? And we also know that Old Town Chinatown is Portland's oldest neighborhood and one of its most diverse, and I think Chad had kind of described the historical aspect of it. And we know that this diverse aspect of the Old Town Chinatown can serve as a magnet for cultural tourism. So if we do things right, Old Town Chinatown can be a jewel that would shine for our city and could attract visitors and neighbors and really make it a vibrant place. So today, I'm coming before you speaking with several hats on. One is I'm a member and vice chair of the Old Town Chinatown Community Association, and I advocate that the city would support in extending the street closure and to collect data and ideas to solve a bigger problem, and that is improving the safety and public perception and norm of the area. We know that public safety is not just on the weekend between 10 to 3 in the morning, but it really is a 24/7 issue. We know that we need to activate the streets to make people feel safe. I was speaking to some business owners in the area and people who have own properties in the area. And they're telling me the businesses are not able to survive right now because of the perceived lack of public safety. And so what I'm hoping to do is that we would not only, you know, look at the street closure as being the answer. It's only a slice of the bigger picture. So I encourage us to look at how do we use this as a jumping off point, you know, to promote the safety in the area, as well as to promote a concentrated education enforcement for reducing over-service of drinking and messaging to establish positive norms for the district. And I know my time's up, so I just want to encourage folks to think of a bigger sphere.
Thank you. Well said. Thank you very much. Please.
Hi, I am Dan Lindzen. I'm a principal with the Concept Entertainment Group and Foresight Development. And just allow me to read our prepared notes to this, and we've also sent that to you via email. We appreciate the opportunity to write this letter to address our opinion, provide a statement, and to offer recommendations regarding the City of Portland's street closure pilot project. Our companies own and operate nearly 90,000 square feet of business and represent 25 tenants in the Old Town area and another 60,000 square feet in the surrounding area. We employ nearly 400 employees, with the majority being in the Old Town area. During the last three decades, we have clearly proven that we're a stakeholder and bring significant employment and tax revenue to the city. And as such, I'm actually one of the authors of the original Visions plan in 97. As you are aware, since December of 2012, the City of Portland's Police Department has administered the pilot project street closure on Fridays and Saturdays of each week in Old Town on Northwest 3rd. The stated objectives of the street closure pilot project, as we understand it, are to lower calls for police service, mitigate noise issues to residents, reduce overcrowding of sidewalks, intercept illegal cabs, reduce the number of pedestrians involved in auto accidents, and reduce cruising. We acknowledge that there's been a lowering of police-related issues in the denoted area through the time frame, as would be expected when three lanes of automobiles were removed from 80,000 square feet of roadway. When this process began, our companies cautiously anticipated the cooperation of all stakeholders involved, neighbors, businesses, and agencies. All three were polled regularly as to their opinions of the pilot project. Our companies offered insights and opinions to the project's successes and opportunities still unrealized. The caveats to all these meetings were the repeated comments from agency representatives, where it was stated that they're not committed to the project in its current form. It's our opinion that, although the crime statistics show decreases in all categories in the test area, and that the neighbors are reporting that the area is somewhat quieter, the other portion of the equation, our businesses, is now showing a marked decrease. With this being said, the street closure portion of the pilot project is not the fix of the problem. Through the use of our tools, of other tools that are already in place, we believe that it is not too late to stop the decline of business and taxable revenue to the city. Unregulated cabs can have their certifications checked. Noise issues from bars, interiors, and the city can be regulated through the noise enforcement. It's clear that most pedestrians in the car-free zone of the pilot project are staying on the sidewalks, so overcrowding on sidewalks can be minimized by removing parking in this area. Let me go straight to our recommendations. Install stop signs or lights and mark crosswalks in all directions at Northwest 3rd and Cooch and Northwest 3rd and Davis. This action has had proven success during the St. Patrick's Festival intersections of 2nd and Ankeny. Remove parking on the sidewalks in the pilot project area to allow for pedestrian sidewalk overflow. Make the three lanes of Northwest 3rd into two lanes and allow automobiles back into 3rd. My last point to this was, for many individuals, perception is seen as reality. Barricades create the perception of a war zone. Consequently, any area with barricades has the look and feel of an embattled area where only hardy souls choose to venture. We cannot allow this to happen to businesses that are still reeling from a down economy. Please choose to enact our recommendations and do not extend the street closure pilot project.
Thanks, Dan. Thank you. All right.
Good afternoon. My name's Howard Weiner. I'm the chair of the Old Town Chinatown Community Association and a business owner in Old Town since 1984. I want to talk really with two hats, but I'll talk for a moment as chair of the Community Association and former chair of the Public Safety Livability Group. Commander Day came to us with a group, really Mike Boyer and Patrick, in October, and we held three meetings, public meetings with over 100 and some odd folks before this pilot project came into effect. During that time, there were many changes already that they had made, and I just want to thank the commander for that. After that time, we had a new mayor, and I am so thankful, Mayor Hales, that you have taken the time and the energy to come down along with Commissioner Fritz at a time when I'm asleep. And saw for yourself what has been going on. The issue that really is before us is partly public safety, a large part of that, but it's also a conflict that has been brewing for many, many years between daylife and nightlife. It was acknowledged in the Visions Plan. It's been acknowledged many times. You'll hear testimony today. There is no consensus on the correct path. In my opinion, there is consensus that this is an issue that needs to be addressed. And if we are not going to try this, then what are we going to try? You know, where are we going to go? So I hope in the wisdom of this council today that you will move forward with what you believe is best for this community. With that said, I'm going to change hats for the last minute. As a business owner since 1984, we only had two or three bars in Old Town Chinatown when I moved down. Right? We had Jazz the Opus, we had Key Largo, I was still young, and we all went out at night. But there were hundreds of us, not thousands. The success that we have had with this nightlife district has brought the conflicts to bear. This is an opportunity. And the mayor, through the last two public town hall meetings, really listened very carefully, and people spoke up. And so we need to move forward. And not everyone's going to be happy with whatever the recommendations are, but we can't turn back now. This is the way it is, and the bars are not going away. There's 14 or 16 of them, and we need to manage this in a way that it suits the entire community. Thank you.
I have one question, if I could.
Sure.
Dan?
Dan.
We have your testimony in our packets, and two questions. Could you just remind me what are the businesses that you operate? And then second, will you say that our businesses are showing a marked decrease? Tell us how you quantify that and what's been the decrease.
Year-over-year sales, and they do show a decrease in this quarter over previous year, which had also been down as well. So this Dixie Tavern is on Northwest 3rd and Cooch, directly in the center of all of this district. So we own the building there as well, and we have a building out of the district on Northwest 6th and Gleason, another one on Southwest 2nd and Pine, and we've got a business on 2nd and Pine and a business on 2nd and Ankeny.
So are you seeing a decline in business at all of those?
Not out of the district. We've actually seen an increase.
Okay, and just within the district, you're seeing a year-over-year decline in the sale of?
Overall sales.
So food and alcohol?
Yes. And we have an increased food program at this location as well, so logic would lead you to believe if you got better food, you've got better sales on food and beverage.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks. Okay, Carla, next ones.
The next three are Steve Lutch, Gloria Lee, and Jackie Peterson, and they'll be followed by Martin Soloway and Nato Campbell and Stephen Ying.
Hi, I'm Steve Block, and I've been in Old Town for 30 years. I have a 20,000 square foot building that serves 12 creative tenants, commercial creatives. And I just wanted to sort of be witness to what I saw at the May 7th meeting and make one premise, which is that the rights of existing tenants, I prefer the rights of existing tenants rather than people that come to the neighborhood. What I see is just certain elements just come to get messed up. And so what I saw at the May 7th meeting were a series of people saying, some quietly, some loudly, and they didn't like the idea that affected them, their livability, adversely. People in like Pacific Towers, 100 by 100 by, I think, 13 stories. They've got 5 or 7 parking spots. It's right outside the perimeter. And parking's a real issue for these people. You know, 13 stories and essentially no parking. You talk about charging them for after hours. There was a person that came forward that was fairly emotional, saying he's trying to recover from substance abuse. He looks out his window and sees, you know, people, what he perceives as bad elements, people that are hurting his recovery. And I think there's probably hundreds in his situation like that. I think there are much brighter elements. This is a personal statement. It's much brighter elements in the neighborhood than people that cater to, you know, people getting messed up. And University of Oregon, you know, the school, the Oriental School of Medicine, you know, the gardens, all the other healthier businesses that are daytime businesses, not wastelands in the daytime and only open in the evening or a few days a week in the evening. So I think the health of the neighborhood is supported by residences, things that encourage residences and businesses that are open in the daytime. Thank you.
So your recommendation would be to stop the pilot?
I mean, all my tenants don't like the idea. The neighbors I've spoken to on the street don't like the idea. I don't know where these 100% of the people I've talked to do not like the idea of closing the streets down, how it's affected the neighborhood, or they don't like that idea. They like the idea of what they consider more substantial businesses in a healthier neighborhood by having daytime activities. Maybe they like the idea of a creative the neighborhood be the creative center, not the entertainment center. And entertainment is, to me, is a bit of a euphemism. It's the get messed up center, test your limits. And that's what I see.
Yeah, I guess, Stephen, for the council, the decision to extend the street closure is not, in my opinion, and I suspect it's universal here, not the only strategy we're interested in considering for the purposes of making this a vital district. But at least from what I've learned, it appears to me pretty clear that the district was louder and more dangerous when the street was open.
That's contrary to the testimony I heard on the 7th, okay, where that one fellow on the scooter says he can't sleep at night.
Okay.
From the increased noise. So when
I'm not saying it's quiet.
Right. He was quoting decibels that he was recording.
Yeah. I know. I remember that. And that was pretty stunning to hear those decibel numbers. So obviously it's not quiet enough, at least for most people. But
he came out to testify that.
Yeah. He was pretty persuasive. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. It's been a long time since I've been up here, but my name is Gloria Lee, and I'm here today as a private citizen and the former opening executive director for Lonsu Garden. When the garden opened in 2000, we had great hopes of using that as a foundational cornerstone for revitalizing the historic Old Town Chinatown. Since then, it's been 12 years, 13 years, the district has seen some phenomenal success, as others will testify later, and some critical setbacks. My concern is that this street closure will be a setback to businesses wishing to relocate into Old Town Chinatown or possibly move in from another area of our country. We are fighting now to retain the small businesses that are there, while we're also trying to maintain public safety. So there's a lot of issues, and over the years, what I've observed is that if you have a small business in our community of Old Town Chinatown, you're probably a hands-on operator, so your opportunity to participate in public venues such as this is very challenging and very difficult. That doesn't mean that the opinions of these owners don't count, and I just like to say that what I heard on the, I believe, May 7th event, there were some small business owners there that have said their business is down, even some owners that operate alcohol establishments that have been there for a long time have said their business is down. Whether that can be attributed to the street closure is questionable, but I would say yes. I think it is very commendable to the task force and Commander Day that we explored the larger issue of forming a nonprofit so that we can program the streets so that somehow the cultural identity of Old Town Chinatown continues to exist. We are on the cusp of losing all of that through the years. I've watched business after business exit, and the hope has always been that the Chinese will return to Chinatown. I don't think that's going to happen, but what we can do is maintain the cultural identity of a district that has contributed to Portland's history. There are right now several Chinese community leaders working towards this goal and hoping to work on this nonprofit idea, this model. However, it is a matter of time and resources and tools. This is of essence. If this ordinance is passed, then it becomes a huge priority for the ideas to become actionable and fundable. So I would ask two things: that council set aside time certain date to revisit this ordinance, because we know how agendas fill up, and I am very concerned that once this passes, if this should pass, that we have a time and date that we revisit this before October 27th. I would ask that the city assist with the tools and resources to pave the way for a nonprofit to form, as we know we're in a community that lacks disposable income, that has many, many other critical issues, which makes it very difficult to form a nonprofit organization. Those funds could come from a specific period of time designated from the NATO and Davis garage, for instance, or it could be a budgetary commitment that is considered seed money to start up this nonprofit, which would have the priority of mitigating some of the bar nightlife entertainment with cultural entertainment and activities for the streets. Thank you.
I'm Jackie Peterson. Thank you, commissioners and Mayor Hales, for the opportunity to speak. I'm the founder of the Old Town History Project, and I've been active in Old Town since the mid-90s. How have you forgot Satyricon? when the Visions Plan was first considered and passed, we had a very different kind of nightlife scene in the neighborhood, and it has changed considerably in the last several years. I want to thank Commissioner Fritz for trying to draw the distinction between a safety zone and an entertainment district, because this is starting to feel like a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's starting to feel like urban planning. And this is really my major concern here as somebody who has been involved, and Gloria has too, in public Tourette's around the 2035 plan, that just last night or the night before last, there was an opportunity for the members of that committee and the public to talk about a variety of scenarios for revitalizing this neighborhood, which is arguably the most complex in the city and yet potentially one of the most important and compelling places to live. At the very moment that we're being flooded with 18 to 25-year-olds, we're considering workforce and market housing. I mean, the very club that started this flow across Burnside, the Barracuda, is in the very building where we're going to be seeing, by innovative housing, a large number of new workforce housing units built in the next year. So that it isn't just the people living, you know, in subsidized housing, that we're trying to repopulate this neighborhood. So it is a concern about how to balance daytime and nighttime activities. What I would really like to urge the council to consider is that this isn't yet an entertainment district wholesale, that this is not the some substance of this neighborhood, God forbid. I mean, we have now the University of Oregon and OCOM, we have the classical Chinese garden, we've got mass transit, we've got vital new restaurants and businesses on 6th and Cooch and 5th, that this hopefully is something we can contain with less of a hammer maybe than for a six-month extension and carrying this all the way to Everett. I mean, this question of parking between 7 and 10 would absolutely destroy the remaining Chinese restaurants. Dim sum ended in the neighborhood because of the introduction of paid parking on the street. So, I mean, these are things that are being fed by the desire to create this envelope of public safety, but it's flowing over into lots of other areas that will have tremendously long ramifications for the entire neighborhood. I trust your judgment, I do, and I'm hoping that you will be prudent and think not so large, but a bit smaller in terms of how big a hammer to apply to the remedy for this problem. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
The next three are Martin Soloway, Ann Nato Campbell, and Stephen Ying.
Okay, I'm going to go. Oh, you go first. Your name. Hi, I'm Martin Soloway. I'm the Director of Housing at Central City Concern, and I'm on the board of the Old Town Chinatown Community Association. I want to thank you very much for considering this. I want to really appreciate the leadership of Mayor Hales in the time you've given and coming to two meetings and having done homework and coming to the next meeting with proposals. I want to remind folks that it was just a few years ago that the district, the nightlife district, was the whole business was at risk. Bullets were flying. People were dying. There was crime. There was shooting. Innocent people were getting struck by bullets. The district has come a long ways, and the closure is an effort to manage the problem. The closure is the solution. It isn't the problem itself. It is a police action. I mean, it is run by the police, and I think what we need is to move it away from a police action and move it into a community, a well-managed operation that thinks about the whole district. One thing I remind myself is that every Friday night, the reveling goes on, but inevitably the sun rises and the neighborhood transforms into Saturday Market. And a few weeks from now, the sun will set on the Thursday after a day of business, and it'll transform into the first Thursday Art Walks. It's a wonderful neighborhood that transforms regularly into multiple identities. I don't even recognize when I come in on a Saturday night where I work all day long. So I really appreciate the experiment of the closure. I think our residents at the Estate Hotel have reported that they do feel safer. There's really only a small request I make in that, that perhaps the core, the most innovative part of this resolution is a proposal of the establishing of a nonprofit organization. The little suggestions of this may include, but is not limited to. And my request is that we add one more section to that, which is that the district also, the closures contemplate the impacts on livability of the residents. The Innovative Housing has told me that they've lost tenants from the Modern Rich because of the noise. Our residents at the Estate have no choice. They have to live there. They're incredibly grateful at the opportunity, but their lives have been miserable for years because of the impact of the district. The closure has improved it, but we need to remember that just 10 feet above our heads, during the middle of all that exciting reveling, there are people trying to sleep who have to go to work in the morning. We've gotten a commitment from the noise enforcement officer to work with us, but my request is that we institutionalize that in the resolution.
Thank you.
Hi. My name is Ann Nato Campbell. Thank you, Martin. I am a native Portlander, born and raised in this great city. I am a third-generation Sansei Japanese-American. My grandfather, Hide Naito, immigrated to America from a small farming village outside of Kobe, Japan, 100 years ago. We are celebrating this May. It is Asian American Heritage Month, and it's a great thing that I can say I'm an Asian American. I am also one of the owners of the Bill Nato Company, and named in my late father's honor. And we currently own and manage over 1 million square feet of commercial property in Portland, including Montgomery Park, Albers Mill, five properties in the historic waterfront district, and the Galleria. My company is investing in historically renovating the Galleria and seismically improving it, and I would like to invite you to the grand opening of the City Target store on July 28th. I hope you'll join us. This will bring back a department store to the building after 100 years, after it was built for Olds, Wertman and King. And Target will have groceries and a pharmacy, which are deeply needed in downtown Portland. We have also, I'm going to try to do this. I won't be able to get through in 3 minutes. We have also invested heavily in the revitalization of the historic waterfront district, helping bring University of Oregon to the White Stag Block, Mercy Corps World Headquarters to the Skidmore Fountain Building, Portland Saturday Market to Waterfront Park, and helping to build the city's Bill Nato Legacy Fountain that really celebrates our 18 different heritage communities that started Portland, Oregon. The Oregon College of Oriental Medicine has just opened in my family's former Import Plaza building and now calls the historic waterfront district home, along with Northwest Natural, Northwest Evaluation Association, Northwest Health Foundation, Gewurz Menashe Law Firm, and the Lan Su Chinese Garden. Get to the meat of this. Before you vote on extending the street closure ordinance, I want you to question that the majority of the community supports the closure as it is. Businesses are reporting losses of 10, 15 to 30% reduction in business since the temporary street closure has come into effect last December. I want to encourage you to consider a shorter period of time for the extension so that we can return to council within 2 months with modifications that will encourage commerce and vitality and support the small, unique restaurants and businesses that have been adversely impacted by the street closure. The loss of 65 free parking spaces and the flow of traffic has negatively affected much more than just the bars on 3rd Avenue. People are reporting negatively on the impacts of 4th, 5th, and 6th Avenues. Our tenants in our properties on 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Avenue have also reported negatively to the street closure because of the loss of parking. It's not an issue. It's the whole program. I think it needs to be modified. I am a board member of the Lions for Life and have devoted my life to supporting programs that reduce the impacts of alcohol and drug addiction in our community. I support what the police actions have done to mitigate the late night drinking in the entertainment district. But the city has not been listening to the community if it indeed states that a majority of the community supports continuing the street closure as it is. I would like to be able to work with the community, PBA, Office of Neighborhood Involvement, Multnomah County, the police, tenants, and businesses in the next 60 days to craft a positive and less punitive action on the historic waterfront district. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. May I just follow up with one question, Mayor? And you read off a very impressive list of things you've done in the community to enhance it. And so my experience with you is you're always pitching solutions. The fountain, the recent proposal that you've floated of how we can change some of the behavior around the Japanese American Historical Plaza. Just one, two of many examples. So I appreciate that you have some thoughts about how to modify this and do it slightly differently. Could you give us your just initial thoughts to the idea of some nonprofit entity, perhaps a business improvement district, perhaps a local, an LDC or LID or something to be formed to be an adjunct to our work? And I'm reminded that in a lot of the cities that we visit when we travel, the entertainment areas or places that have this kind of mixed use that's very active at night do have discrete entities that help manage it. New York City is the most conspicuous example in Times Square, in outside of Macy's, even down at Union Square, where there's an entity and it has some local ownership, local control, and it has people on the street and it has programs. So do you have a thought about that as a companion piece?
I think it's already happening. I think that the newly formed community association, which is, 30 days in inception, that is the nonprofit organization that we're setting in place. We have all the players at the table. We need to bring in some more. We need the help of the Portland Business Alliance, the City of Portland, whether it's ONI or whatever, but we really literally just formed this new organization. So it's there. I think you're really talking about funding sources. And Gloria, I think it was Gloria, had brought up the idea of possibly taking some of the revenue from the Old Town Garage that could help fund a marketing campaign. And I know I've worked, our people have worked with Mayor Adams on the, with Portland Business Alliance, Travel Portland on the Pioneer Retail Core. And that's been very successful. That's how we got Target. So I'm really looking forward to really working through with the community association to build the a newly revitalized, pulling in all these wonderful parts. We are the city's historic waterfront district, and we need to really revel in it. And so we are doing it. So when you ask, I don't think we have to go back and recreate the community association because that is what we
have. Well, let me be more transparent. The reason some cities have gone to a BID or an LDC model or something like that is it gives the organization dedicated funding to do the work. dedicated funding to address a whole array of services, including enhanced services above a city baseline. And I applaud the community effort, but as you noted, I mean, whether it's a surcharge on parking at a place and investing, or some piece of Travel Portland, or some model off of what the PBA or Clean and Safe has done, it's the organization locally administered with a funding source that augments services and is able to address these things. And we cannot expect just a group of volunteers to do this without some support, and typically it's some dedicated financial support. That's the only thing I was raising.
That's correct, but you have to also realize that our property values in this neighborhood are compromised from the rest of the city, and we already pay the Portland Downtown Services, Inc. A bid fee. So we are already in, you know, paying our dues, so to speak.
I wasn't pitching a particular idea.
Okay.
I was really, I will leave it to others to tell you how. I was just identifying options and broadening the discussion of what a nonprofit or some entity could do. And believe me, I'm not pitching. I mean, I'm not selling. I'm just trying to understand whether that's on your radar and what that vision might look like. So I thank you.
Well, it's fortunate timing, and I appreciate you raising that issue, because we don't vote on the city budget until next week, and so it may be that there should be some seed money up front before we figure out how ongoing it's going to be funded. I haven't been connected since December, since I haven't been in charge of ONI, so I'm wondering, has there been a community stakeholder group that's been tasked with putting together? Is there a group that is already doing or has done what you're suggesting would happen over the next 2 months in terms of scoping solutions?
Yes. I would. Martin's on the board of the community association. Like I said, we literally have just reformed the business association and the neighborhood association into the community association.
Right, but that hasn't so far been tasked with figuring out the solution to this problem. It's just formed.
Yeah, it's certainly an important priority item for us, but we have not yet taken action.
Right. I've been very impressed with the mayor's outreach effort, and including having a meeting with some 30 people at midnight in Old Town, which set a new high for community involvement. However, not everybody can show up to a midnight meeting, nor can everybody show up to a 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Wednesday meeting. I really appreciate everybody being here. So I'm wondering, has there been a balanced stakeholder committee so far that's been looking, puzzling through these issues, or is that something that needs to be formed?
I am talking to, we've been in discussion.
If we had
the 60 days or 45 to 60 days, if we had like the request of having a time certain date when we would come back, I think that would inspire us all to work really hard, especially with the 1st to 5th or 6th Avenue stakeholders and business owners to find solutions. I don't believe that taking away the 65 free parking spaces is helping the businesses around there. We've heard, and I think the city has all of those surveys, but over and over again, everybody's saying, you know, they're complaining about parking. We have two issues in the neighborhood. One is the homeless population, and the other one is parking.
So it could be that before we vote on this next week, we could flesh out a little more some of the directives, particularly C, regarding how the mayor's office will be working with the Office of Neighborhood Involvement and others, what that might look like, so that there's more more clearly identified who is going to be participating and what the role of the newly formed community association might be.
So I would be happy to work on that with my friends and get back to you before you vote next week.
That's what I'm saying. I think that I would feel more comfortable supporting this if I have more direction, more understanding from the mayor's office and from the Office of Neighborhood Involvement about what that process looks like.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, my turn. Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. I want to say thank you to the mayor to come down to the Old Town Chinatown three times for the outreach meeting with the community member. And also the night time, you come down twice. You know, I was with you one time. I know I never go to Chinatown that late at night for, like, well, especially bar hopping, and I haven't done it for 20-some years. So it was new to me again. Also, I'd like to thank you, Commissioner Fritz. Well, I get to see you after 12 o'clock, so to see how you look like at night, so which is the same. So.
Nobody recognized me because I was in jeans. It was fun.
So that's why I like to appreciate. And then I want to say the bar is already there, so we need to find a way to control the environment so we'll be more safe and have fun for the younger folks. So I actually support the street closure. If the closure time extended, shortened from 11 to 3 o'clock, because by 10 o'clock, some of the Chinese restaurants still open, and they are hurting their business with the street closure. So they close at 10, but the customer don't leave right away at 10 o'clock. So that's the area they close the street is where they park. So I have complained from the bar at the restaurant owner said that their car got towed away, their customer's car. They would not come back again. So I wish the later time, 11 to 3 o'clock, because people don't get drunk by 11. They get drunk after 12. So I think should be that consideration for the next voting. And also I like the idea with the management, because what I'm seeing now, after 3 o'clock, the street is full of junk, vomit and garbage everywhere. There's no one to clean it up. So I want to get some funding, have management to clean up the street afterward. Thank you.
Thank you. Very good. Thanks.
That's all who signed up.
Anyone else planning to testify? So I would like to actually make some revisions to the ordinance, bring it back perhaps as a substitute. There are a couple of little technical changes, but I captured one thing here in terms of an item under C, something to the effect of implementing noise reduction strategies and other measures to improve neighborhood livability. I mean, in other words, a specific agenda item for this effort ought to include that. I took to heart the point about clarity about when we come back to council. I think we ought to put that in the ordinance as well, perhaps come back to council on October 3rd, 3 weeks before the end of this pilot project, if we do stick with the 6 months. Let me speak about that a little bit. Did Ann leave? Is Ann still here? Ann, I'll talk more with her about it, but I think one of the things that the last 60 days have taught me, granted there are a few other things going on in this building at the same time, 60 days isn't very long. And a six-month extension to me seems more measured by far than and less hurried than a 60-day extension. That said, it's not my expectation that every detail of the management of this district has to come back to the City Council. That's the whole point of trying to create some kind of management entity that has involvement from the community that can make decisions. And granted, some of those decisions might need bureau approval or council approval, but these kinds of fine-grained efforts at managing public space can't get done just with ordinances. There has to be a management entity that has people in the neighborhood that know what is going on. And so I want to respond specifically to that, and it's my hope that we'll have a measure of authority in whatever entity is doing this management, that things like ours are not requiring council approval. But hopefully can reach some agreement among stakeholders. To the concern about the businesses involved, I take that very seriously. Part of my goal for this district is prosperity of the restaurants and bars in the district. This is not about suppression of our nightlife district. It's about realizing it as a safe and successful part of the city. my experience has taught me that public spaces full of people can be very prosperous. One of my favorite places to visit in this country, other than here in Portland, in terms of an entertainment district, is Lincoln Road in Miami Beach, which is a permanently closed street that is full of far more people than could ever park there. My favorite story about the trade-off between parking and prosperity is from my friend Michael Powell, who is, like most business people, very good at running his business. And his business was radically underparked. I think there might have been 50 parking spaces in that funky garage that they grafted onto the back of the bookstore on the upper floors of another old building. And when the streetcar was proposed, he was very concerned about the arrival of the streetcar project and volunteered to get involved because he was potentially going to lose 4 on-street parking spaces near his business. And parking was precious. He ultimately changed his mind, went door to door with local improvement districts, petitions to hundreds of his fellow property owners in order to form the LID to build the streetcar, and subsequently has been, I think, a board member for life on the Portland Streetcar Board. And as he put it to me, I came to understand that cars don't buy books, and neither do cars patronize restaurants and bars. So if we can make this successful from a transportation standpoint, we can get a lot more people than could ever park in 65 parking spaces to this district. Michael learned that, and I think it's true. It's management. It's how we do it. Can we get the front and the Nato and Davis parking garage better utilized? That would produce some revenue. It would also get more people to the district. They would also have to walk a couple blocks after leaving a bar and might be given the opportunity to get in a cab instead of their own motor vehicle if they shouldn't get back in that car. So I think there are lots of ways in which multiple objectives can be met if we do this right, but neither do I think that the answers will all be found at this dais. They will be found among the people that know the district and are working together in this kind of cooperative spirit that we hear here today, even with some disagreement, and managing the thing to the success of those multiple objectives. I think that's a doable vision in this case. I'm also, although I'm interested in shifting the management to a local entity, I'm fully expecting that I and other members of the council are going to continue to be very involved in this because it is a complex neighborhood. It does require the active involvement of multiple city bureaus in order to make this work.
Mayor, just 3 quick comments. I know that this is a long day of council.
A long day of council,
everyone. But I really appreciate the depth of your engagement around this issue and the thoughtfulness of this discussion. I want to ponder some of the testimony we've had today about a shorter window and a chance to come back to council, because I'm not sure a shorter window precludes a 6-month test. But I'm also hearing people wanting a safety valve earlier and maybe a chance to, and frankly, once the budget's behind us, we are going to. And your workload's reduced a little bit, we're going to have a little more time to breathe. So I just want to throw that out as an option, number one. Number two, having spent a lot of time in that area after hours, there's another piece that gets displaced that I want us to think about, and that's the North Park blocks. And frankly, if we're going to look holistically at this, it's been on my wish list for a while that we organize a Friends of the North Park blocks and begin to think about how the park connects to a cultural district and then to this district. And there's a ton of people who go into the park at night and are displaced. A lot of activity goes on there. And, you know, we've got more rangers now patrolling. But let's look holistically. And I think the park needs a fresh look and probably an update. Mm-hmm. And that may be in a future bond. So I want to add that to the conversation. And then finally, I just want to make an observation about noise. The other night, my family and I went out to dinner in the Central East Side. And there's a lot of bars and restaurants up and down there. And frankly, you could get as noisy as you want, and what you're going to bother is a few entrepreneurs, some people walking through. But there's very little residential in that area, at least legal residential. Mm-hmm. And that's not atypical of urban areas where you have restaurants and bars, where there isn't that same kind of impact. But the comment from the gentleman from Central City Concern, who drew a distinction between the folks at Innovative Housing is trying to house, and by the way, 2 of their developments the city funded through a NOFA process. So that mixed housing concept is being actively promoted by the city through a competitive process. But his comment about people living there, not by choice, but because that's the available bed and out of necessity, I think is something I just want to come back to later in our discussion, because when someone is, when the only available bed is in a nonprofit housing run by a blue chip operator in the middle of one of these districts, but the, one of the prices of living there is a couple nights of, out of the week they can't go to bed, I have a problem with that. And if the same conduct was happening six blocks to the west, we would hear from a lot of an entirely different community saying that's unacceptable. And we do hear from them and occasionally remind them that they moved into the Pearl knowing it was a mixed-use area, so there is more noise. But that troubles me a little bit. And we do have we're changing the mix of people who live there. There's market conditions that are going on, investments and other things, but it is still home to a lot of people who have no other choice. And frankly, I sometimes think that the folks partying there are being very disrespectful to people who call that place home. And I want to come back to that point with you as we go forward.
Other comments? Then what we might do is continue this hearing for a week, enabling us to bring back a substitute version of the ordinance that fits the council's hopes and expectations. So thank you all. We'll continue this for 1 week. We'll bring back a revised version of the ordinance this week from today.
Could we take a 3-minute break?
Let's take a break, and then we'll take up the last item. Thank you all very much.